A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air. And he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals, but none provided to be the suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man, and while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, "This one, at last, is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man, this one has been taken." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Days of our lives.
reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, he for a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader and to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. The word of the Lord.
And the word is for Almighty God, behind your mind, your lips, and your hearts, and the word of the Lord.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you.
The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of your hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house the disciples again questioned Jesus about this, and he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I feel like I'm stepping into a minefield as I'm trying to say something about divorce and the good news of Jesus Christ. Yet I imagine that almost everyone here has been affected by divorce in some way. If the statistics hold true here, nearly half of everyone here comes from homes in which their parents are divorced. Children of divorce are more likely to be wary, cautious about entering into a permanent commitment. And maybe that's okay, but maybe it also takes away some of the joy and the optimism of moving into a commitment. I've counseled people going through a divorce. I've counseled children whose parents have gone through a divorce, and it's hard and it's ugly. Some who hear Jesus' condemnation of divorce say, right on, and that we need to reemphasize the church's teaching of one time only. Others who feel their divorce is no fault of their own feel Jesus' words are a condemnation of them. Should a person, for example, live one's life out in an abusive relationship? Is that what Jesus would want? How then are we to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? First, we need to understand the context of Jesus' situation in which he talks about divorce. The Pharisees were asking Jesus for his interpretation of a vague Jewish law on divorce. The law from the book of Deuteronomy states the quote, "If a husband finds something objectionable about his wife, he would have grounds for divorce." That's pretty vague. So depending on any particular rabbi's interpretation of something objectionable, a man could divorce his wife if he doesn't like her cooking. Jesus confronts the Pharisees with their hardness of heart in looking for loopholes from their commitments. Instead, Jesus reemphasizes the intention of God that the marital covenant is indissoluble, that is, it's intended to be permanent. When couples prepare to be married in the Catholic Church, they both have to agree that their intention is that they will remain together forever. "Let's give it a try and see how it goes" is not good enough. The ideal expressed in the book of Genesis is beautiful. Because of their love for one another, a man shall leave his father and mother, and a woman shall leave her father and mother, and the two shall become as one. They're no longer two, but one flesh. In marriage, two people live in mutual love and complementarity, where each person finds fulfillment in and through each other. This is what God hopes for, and this is what Jesus calls us to. Secondly, Jesus revises the Jewish law on adultery. According to Jewish law, adultery was the sin of a married woman against her husband, for which she could be stoned to death. But Jesus extended the law to protect the wives. That is, it's equally wrong for a man to commit adultery. Although I wonder if our society today isn't still more willing to excuse a man for committing adultery than for a woman to do the same. I don't know, I'm just conjecturing. Jesus' response to the Pharisees, he says, not by giving them a loophole from their commitments, but instead underscores human marriage as a covenantal bond, not just a legal bond, but a covenantal bond between two persons, a bond designed by God from the beginning of creation. This is what God hopes for us. Let me give an example of what this marital bond might look like. A long time ago, far, far away, lived a king and his people who were trapped in their castle by a foreign enemy. Outside the city walls, his enemy, the Emperor Conrad, was demanding his surrender. And while the conditions of surrender were being determined, the women of the castle sent a message to Conrad asking for safe passage out of the castle. They also requested that they be allowed to take with them as many of their valuables as they could carry. Well, their request was granted, and soon the castle gates were opened and out came the women. To Conrad's amazement, the women carried no gold or jewels, but each woman was bending under the weight of her husband, whom she hoped to carry to safety. I'm looking around and I'm seeing some wives, no, not gonna happen. What is Jesus' message for us? For those who are not married, how are you preparing now for living a permanent commitment called for in marriage? I would suggest that how you practice the small commitments now will largely determine how well you achieve the bigger commitments later in life. For those of you who are married, how's it going? Do you and your spouse take time to check in with one another? What have you found that helps to strengthen your commitment to one another? And what seems to be pulling you further away from each other? I'm not a marriage counselor, and I'm hardly the person to be offering suggestions on marriage. But I know how easy it is for time to slip by while avoiding conflicts, avoiding perhaps some difficult conversations. And if this is true in your case, perhaps now is the time to prayerfully reflect together on your marriage. For those who are divorced, God is a God of mercy and forgiveness and healing. God never wishes to condemn. Perhaps talking with a priest might help you to gain a deeper sense of peace, if that would be helpful. And let's never forget, let's never fail to give praise, for God has always and will always keep his covenant of love with us.